Well, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, let's begin this afternoon with a few questions. Try to track with these questions if you can. Here we go. Did you at all today think about the fact that you have been baptized? And if you thought about how you have been baptized, if you thought of it today, were you helped when you thought of it? To ask it another way, does the reality of the fact that we have been baptized, whether long ago or more recently, does the reality of our baptism truly help us? Going further, in all of the experiences of life, all the happy times, all the hard times, including also when you may be convicted of sin or else when you get older in life, really in all of life, do you get help from your baptism? And is your baptism in that sense truly a blessing to you? And do you regularly say to the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you so much for the gift of my baptism. What a help it is to me. Those are the opening questions. And maybe you think those are a bit strange questions. But isn't it true, honestly speaking, that many of us don't think probably enough about our baptism? Not that we don't care, perhaps. It's just not front and center. Maybe because we can't remember it. With most of us, that's true. We weren't conscious when it took place. Although having said that, even if we are baptized later in life, even then it's fair to say that we don't always think of it like we should. And while it's important to us, it is important, it's not, we don't think of it really as something that helps us. Not so much. I don't know, don't we all have to confess that to some extent as true? Maybe not everyone, maybe not all of the time, but many of us, too much of the time. And that's to our shame, isn't it? I was thinking about this even for myself a few weeks ago when the last catechism class came to an end. The kids asked me in the one class to tell them a little bit about my life. So I gave them a 5-minute sort of summary, and I began something like, I was born and raised into a covenant home. And all my life I knew about the Lord, and that's good, I suppose, but I should have said I was born and baptized into a covenant home. But it's an illustration of the fact that baptism doesn't live so much in our mind and heart like it maybe could and should. And it should, because it's a gift of God. Just for that reason, it should be so precious to us. And it's a gift of God meant to be so helpful to us. Now, sometimes in life we receive gifts that are not so helpful. Maybe can be very unhelpful. I mean, imagine living, some of you live in an apartment, some of you in Evergreen, imagine someone coming by and presenting you with the gift of a lawnmower. And there you are on the first or fifth floor, it doesn't really matter. And they say, here, we've brought you a lawnmower. You say, well, thanks, but what am I supposed to do with that? It's kind of a pointless gift, at least in that situation. And probably if you are forced to take it, you just re-gift it or maybe give it to your kids or something, but it's kind of meaningless. But see, baptism is not like that. It's not a meaningless gift. It's not a pointless gift. It's an incredibly precious and powerful gift. It's a gift from God through Christ, and by way of the Holy Spirit, and for our good. And he means it to be so useful and so practical and a great blessing to be baptized. Yes, God means to help us by way of our baptism. And we need to see this. You know, too often when we talk about baptism, we get into debates about who should be baptized. And of course, we need to talk about that. Next week, Lord willing, we will. But before we talk about who should be baptized, we need to see the glory of baptism. We need to see its value, its use. We need to see how meaningful it is as a sign and seal of God's great faithfulness, of the good news of Jesus Christ, of how we can trust God and be sure that he will be true to every word he has proclaimed in his saving grace to us in Christ. Let's realize then, this is the main point of the introduction, God means to help us with our baptism. So there also is the challenge for us this afternoon. Do you get spiritual help from your baptism. We read from Paul, and he was giving his testimony, and he features his baptism. The words of Ananias, arise and be baptized. It had happened many years before for him, and yet it was part of his story. It was part of God's grace to him. It meant something to him. It was a means in God's hand to help him. And not only him, but all of us. So in this sermon, let's see how God helps us so much with our baptism. And let's notice, first of all, the picture he gives us. The picture. So we all like pictures. Our children, our young people like drawing pictures. Maybe some of you are quite good at drawing pictures. Looking at pictures and learning from pictures. So think of whenever we buy something from, say, IKEA. And you go home, and many times whenever you buy something from IKEA, you have to put it together. And that can be fun or not, but what helps often is the instructions. And mostly the instructions are not words, but pictures. And the pictures are meant to assist us in putting the thing together. And so baptism is a picture meant also to help us. See, in our baptism, God is saying, look here. In the Word, he's saying, listen here. In our baptism, he's saying, look here. Let me show you something. And then what he does really is open up for us a picture. So what is the picture then that God gives us in baptism? Well, you could say the picture that God gives us in baptism is of a fountain, a water fountain. And this is true whether baptism is by way of immersion or pouring or sprinkling, doesn't matter. In baptism, we see a picture of a fountain of water under which we can wash and be clean. That's the picture that we may see. And what it means and what it points to is the blood of Christ and the Spirit of Christ by which our souls can be cleansed and we can be saved even from all our sin. That's the picture then of baptism. It's a picture of a fountain. And not simply a fountain of water to wash our bodies, but to point us to the fountain of salvation that can be found in Christ and through His Spirit. And when we think of this picture, then two things we can learn from this picture. Two things we should learn. One is that we need to be cleansed. We need to be cleansed. We need to be washed. The picture highlights that by nature we are not clean, but rather we are sinners and sinful. We've got history. We're guilty, we're dirty, and that's no small problem. In fact, it's so catastrophic that we deserve to die, that we deserve to perish forever in hell. Look at this, God is saying. Look at your state and condition. Look what you so desperately need to be washed. And isn't this so important to learn and always to remember? On the one hand, we've been told all our life. We know it so well. We can read it in the Bible. There is none righteous, no, not one. And that includes you, and that includes me. And we are all unclean before the Lord. Sinners and sinful, left to ourselves, we deserve to die. We know it, or we should. But see, by way of this picture, the Lord is reinforcing to us the point. He's saying, I've told you. Now I want you to see. Look what you are. Look what you need. Without cleansing, you cannot come in. It's like our moms sometimes say to us when we're kids, after we've played outside in the mud. And we come to the door. Maybe, kids, this has happened to you. And you come to the door and you're covered in mud. And your mom comes to the door and she says, you are not coming in like that. Off goes your shirt, off goes your shorts, off goes your shoes. Out comes the garden hose. And you get sprayed from top to bottom. Because you can't come in the house like that. And that's bad enough in terms of our bodies, but how much more in terms of our souls before the face of God and with the infinite filth of our sin, we can't come in. We can't stand before Him. We can't live in His presence. Do you believe this? And does it humble you? And should we not bow before the Lord, our head and our heart, and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. And let this picture help us never to become proud. We have no right, no reason ever to become proud. For we need cleansing, desperately so. But that's not all the picture tells us. It not only humbles us, doesn't it also encourage us so much even? Because what it tells us is that God For guilty and dirty sinners, God has opened for us a fountain for sin and for uncleanness. What God tells us through the picture, really, is that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And what God tells us is that sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. That's the picture. So look at who you are. Look at what he gives and does. That's the message. In Jesus Christ, you get washed. Through his Spirit, you may be made clean. And again, this is not new either, is it? The whole Bible features it. The Redeemer and the redemption story. The blood and righteousness of Christ, his life, his death, his atonement, his resurrection. All of the efficacy of his saving work through the Holy Spirit, he now cleanses us from all sin, all who confess. The whole Bible lays it out for us, and what a joy it is to read and hear, and how good are the many words that proclaim it. But see, in baptism, the Lord is saying, let me not only tell you, let me show you. Yes, look, see for yourself. Every baptism is a picture of what happens to you in Jesus Christ. The dirty are made clean. The sinners are washed. In Jesus, you may be made new. When you go to him with your guilt, when you bring your history to him, when you've got things on your conscience, you ever have things on your conscience? You ever struggle with, oh, I wish I'd never done that. How could I have said that? You know, when you're dirty and it's deep and you can't get the stain out of your sin, if you bring it to Jesus, baptism is saying to you, if you look to him, as you ask him, he'll do it. He'll wash you and make you completely clean. See, this picture helps us to know it. And how good of God then to give us the picture. But the Lord's not only given us a picture. No, in the second place, we can notice the power he packs into baptism. So baptism is a picture, and God packs into it power. What do I mean by that? Well, we can say three things here. First of all, notice how with baptism, God is so very real and so very personal. Real and personal. I mean, in baptism, real water is used. And real water is applied personally to everyone who is baptized. And the basic point that's being made with that is that Christ's blood is that real. And that's sure also to cleanse you and me. Yes, as real as the water that has been sprinkled upon us, so real is the blood of Christ to save us as we trust him. And again, isn't that powerful? See how with baptism the Lord is meaning to assure and comfort us that salvation in Christ is so real and so sure. Water touched me. I can't remember, but it touched me. It really did. And just as water washes me and makes me clean, and every day we take showers, we know that reality, but so real and sure it is that Christ, when I go to him, will cleanse me from my sin. How real and how personal. And that matters because how often we can doubt and struggle. We can be afraid. We can believe that, or we just can't believe that God's grace is for us. We say, when would that be? Well, imagine we've done something very serious. I mean, if we've sinned very grievously, or maybe repeatedly. What if you have sinned against light? You knew better, and yet you sinned. And you sinned on and on and on and on. That can happen, can't it? Can happen as young people. Can happen in family life. Can happen in our work habits. Can happen in the privacy of our own mind and heart. And sometimes arrows of conviction can come so deep inside that while on the one hand we feel sorry and we want to change, we think, it's how is it possible that I could be forgiven that? How is it possible that God can cleanse me from that? Who doesn't wonder that sometimes? Or maybe let's say we have been assaulted by the world or by the devil, and sometimes we can think, we can have these thoughts go through our heads. All this talk about sin and grace and Christ, is it real? I mean, it seems so unreal. I mean, where is he after all? We can't see him. We can't go to him. Maybe it's just a fairy tale. Maybe it's simply a story that man in his poverty and sorry state has invented to help himself manage, cope. But meanwhile, there's no reality to it. There's no certainty to it. Maybe religion, true religion, is simply a fiction. That's so often the messaging of the world, isn't it? And we can be affected and impacted by it and tempted. But in every case I've described, what we need to do is go back to the power of baptism. When God gave us this sign and seal and of his gospel promise, and by means of real water personally applied, it's like he is shouting to us, saying, this isn't make-believe. You need a Savior, and there is a Savior. You can have him and be washed by him. As you come to him and confess to him, he loves to pour out his grace to you and to wash you and make you clean. That's the power of baptism. It's real, it's personal. Think too how it's official and authoritative. Official and authoritative. Here we face a question. What makes a baptism? I mean, is there some special skill to it? Does the water have to be mixed with some kind of ingredients? Or does the one who's administering it have to go through a training course, develop some expertise? No, of course not. None of that is relevant. Water needs to be used, yes. But what makes a baptism is three things. When it happens in the context of the gathered church, by an ordained servant of God, in the name of the triune God. When it happens in the gathering or in the context of the gathered church by an ordained servant of God in the triune name of God. All those things are important. And together they help to highlight how authoritative and official baptism is. For instance, in the context of the gathered church, it happens in worship because here in worship we believe God comes to us in a particular way. God fills the earth and heaven. God is with his people everywhere we go. But when we come together as called congregation of the Lord, God comes in a particular way. God is here, and God is at work. And God makes himself known, and also through word and sacrament. And so baptism needs to happen in the context of the gathered church. And needs to happen by way of an ordained servant of God. We don't believe that just anyone can administer baptism. In the early church, the apostles and the leadership of the church did the baptizing. And so today we restrict that responsibility to ministers, although let's ever remember that even ministers who baptize have no inherent right. It is ultimately God who is baptizing. Ministers are but the means in his hand to carry it out. But this too underscores for us how baptism happens by divine authority. No one less than God is at work. God is doing something. God is baptizing. By the way, this can help people who sometimes think they've not been properly baptized, especially when the minister who baptized them turns out to be an apostate minister. Sometimes that happens. Maybe you've heard of that. You think, the minister who baptized me left a faith. Maybe I wasn't really baptized. But see, the baptism doesn't depend on the man. There is no baptismal power in a mere man. God is doing something. God is baptizing his people. And think how this comes out also, how in every baptism, it happens in God's triune name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is maybe the most important point of all. And you know how it goes. We've heard it many, many times. Someone's name gets pronounced, and then the formula, I baptize you, and then in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we get that language straight from Scripture. Matthew 28, Jesus' commission. But think how great that is, how glorious to have our name together with God's triune name. And by his official direction, he has set it up. And he has said, this is how I want it to happen. This is how baptism is to be administered. And together what it means is that this thing called baptism, this thing by which we get formally connected to the church and covenant of God, the Lord shows us the picture of the fountain open for sin, yes, and by means of it, he encourages everyone to look to him, yes, and it's real and personal, yes, and it's official and authoritative because God is doing it. It's powerful. Or maybe an illustration or two can help. Think of at school, young people, when you need to leave class and it's not recess, it's not noontime, and you need to leave class. Well, you can't just leave class. You need permission. And you need a hall pass. Maybe you don't get a piece of paper anymore, maybe just a word to the secretary, but you can't just wander the halls during class. And if you do and someone finds you, then you get in trouble unless you can produce a hall pass. Or maybe, children, you want to go home on the bus, but on a different bus than you normally come to school because you want to go home with your friends. Well, again, you can't just get on any bus. You need a bus pass. You need the VP to write you up or at least let the bus driver know that so-and-so, who's not regularly on your bus, maybe on your bus. If you don't have a bus pass, you aren't getting on the other bus. You need something official. And baptism is official. God officially and authoritatively promising now not just the pass, but pardon, full and free forgiveness for all who ask him, officially and authoritatively. God himself signs it. And we can take it to him then, and we can say, see, Lord, you did this. You said this. You showed this. You sealed this. Please save me. That's the power of baptism. It's official notice on God's authority that we may draw near to him and not die. On God's authority, we may bring to him every sin and all our guilt and be forgiven. On God's authority, we may be sure that he will not reject us, but receive us and bless us. And all this is part then of the power that God packs into baptism, and by means of which he helps us. It is real and personal. It is official and authoritative. And it is also comprehensive. That too is still in terms of the second point, the power of baptism. It is comprehensive care on the part of God. What does that mean? Well, simply this, that he's not just interested in forgiving our sins. That is foundational. That is, we could say, the first and foremost blessing of God's covenant and God's grace, forgiveness. But God is interested in so much more. God is interested in saving the whole person, body and soul, forever and ever. And on the way to glory, being with you every step of the way, overseeing all that takes place in your life, providing for every need and situation, hearing when you call in the day of trouble, comforting you when you mourn in the day of sorrow, guiding you when you struggle in the day of confusion, coming alongside of you when you need to fight in the day of trial. You see, the Lord, the living God, the great Savior, is also the shepherd of his people. And in baptism, he is underscoring to us that he will take care of everything. Everything. Including when we can be so down and discouraged. Including when we can get older and feel wearied and become faint. Or younger and become faint. Including when we must pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Including when the enemies press in and seek to destroy. Sometimes we can be so afraid. Sometimes we can tremble. And in those times, we need to go back to the Word of God. And God in his Word says, listen, I'm here, trust me. I'm your Savior and your Keeper. But don't just go back to the Word of God. Go back to your baptism. And remember how God sealed his Word and showed you his Word. How in him we can find forgiveness, and with him we can find everything we need for these few short years and then into eternal life. Comprehensive care. God underscoring that and reinforcing that to us in our baptism. I don't know, does this help you to see how powerful this gift is? It's a picture, just that's wonderful, but it's a powerful picture. It's a powerful picture. And with it, God is meaning to help us with this whole sacrament. And not now only in terms of the picture and the power of it, but lastly, let's notice the practice that he's after. The practice. In other words, the habit, the response. And what is it? It's very simple. It's that we look to him. It's that we call on him. It's that we trust in him. It's that we hold fast to him. That's the great aim of baptism. That we not rest in our baptism, you know, like put our baptism in our pocket and say, very good, let's carry on. No, but that we take our baptism and with it seek God and rest in God. That's the practice God's after. That's what he's aiming at when he baptizes us. Come on, he's saying, see the picture and feel the power and repent and believe and follow and trust and obey and draw near and live close and walk close and never leave, but walk humbly with God. That's what he's saying. And how blessed we are when we hear that and when we respond to that, when we experience the power of that, the baptism helping us in our life. What's sad, though, is that sometimes we miss this. Sometimes we miss this. And here we go back to the opening of the sermon, and I find myself speaking very much to myself in this regard. But we can fail to use our baptism. We can fail to be helped by it if we hardly think of it, if we're not busy with it, if we never look to be assisted with it. How sad that is, and what a loss that represents. It's like we treat it as if it's a useless gift, as if it's a lawnmower, and meanwhile we live in an apartment. That's not what baptism is. It's a gift we ought never to waste. What can also happen is that people use it in the wrong way. For example, if they take refuge in the fact of their baptism, but not in the God of their baptism. If as baptized people we don't seek the Lord, we don't hear him, we don't call on him, we don't live for him, if we think baptism is enough, if it's a security without us seeking the Lord, then at best our Christianity is superficial. And in reality, we probably have none at all. Is that a warning any of us need to hear this afternoon? You know, when we stand before God someday, it won't help us to say we have been baptized. If that's all we say, that just won't do. The question will be, what did we do with our baptism? Did we seek God? Did we trust him? And if we never did, he will say, among other things, but you were baptized. You were marked. You were set apart. You were shown the gospel promise. You were called. You were given a precious gift. Why did you neglect it and forget it and reject it? It will be very bad for us if we have been baptized, but we have not believed, not trusted the Lord, not served him, not lived for him. It will be very bad for us. Because that will mean that despite the great help God gave us, we said no to him still. In spite of the picture, he drew us a picture. He's drawing it. He's laying it out before us so often. In spite of the picture, and regardless of the power, yes, in spite of the privilege, so many are not baptized. But we are, we have been. But if we do not believe, if we do not humble ourselves before the Lord, if that's not us, will our judgment not be the heavier? All the greater. Again, if we need this warning this afternoon, if we need it, let's heed it. But let's not end with the warning. Let's rejoice in the gift. And let's say as we close how special to be baptized. But let's not just say that in this moment in the sanctuary. Let's learn to say it in our life every day. Let's pray to God to help us remember the privilege and to take advantage of the picture and to experience the power and to be engaged in the practice of seeking God, the God who has come to us, seeking him with our heart and soul, trusting him and obeying him and rejoicing in all that he gives to us, following him as he, as our good shepherd, leads us every step, even into eternal, eternal life. And on the way to that eternal life, he means for us to remember we've been baptized and continually to be helped by it. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we come before you and give thanks for this sacrament of baptism. This picture that you have given us to help us understand the gospel, our need of it, and your provision for us in Christ. and the power that you have packed into it and the practice that you mean for us to be busy with seeking and serving you. And we pray, Lord God, that we would love this gift as it points us to the gift of gifts and as it is meant to be a great help to us when we struggle, when we're convicted, when we experience hard things, when we are sad or lonely or discouraged or assaulted, when we get older and weaker and frail. Lord, in so many circumstances and situations of life, we find ourselves to be utterly helpless. Help us to use this help that you have given, simply by remembering it more often than we do, and taking it back to you and saying, Lord, you have said, and you have sealed, and will you now also do what you have promised? We thank you, Lord, for all your good and precious gifts, and we pray that they may never testify against us, also this gift. And Lord, any one of us who may be living still unmindful of you and rejecting you, today we pray by the power of your Spirit may undergo deep conviction and be brought to conversion and made to confess Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Please remember us and bless us further from here. Thank you again for granting us a day of rest and worship. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of seeing each other. Help us as we go from here to go in dependence upon you. And may all things be to the glory of your great name. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.